Good morning. I will call the Civil Law and Data Practices Committee to order. The first order of business for today would be approval of the minutes from April 12th. Representative Johnson would like to move the minutes to April 12th. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval of the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. We have one order of business on our agenda today, and it's Representative Smith's bill, 3959, although on here it says Representative Smith. So did you remove the H recently, Representative Smith?
Madam Chair, I go by both names.
Okay, very good. Representative Smith, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members, good morning. House file 3959 makes Minnesota driver's license, House file 3959 makes Minnesota driver's license compliant with the federal ID standards adopted in 2005. The good news is our current licensing requirements, we are 74% of the way towards federal compliance. There's a few additional items that I'd like to highlight that are in the bill that are different from the current system to what's required to be federal ID required. Number one is Social Security number. Currently, you need to give your Social Security number in order to receive a current license in Minnesota. The difference is your Social Security number will be kept with the other documents in the federal ID system with that process. The second item is residence. You need to prove that you're a resident of Minnesota, demonstrating your principal place of residence. And number three, you need to sign a declaration under penalty of perjury that the information you're supplying is correct. Number four is the information is being kept for 10 years as opposed to 5 under the current system. And then also there's some additional enhanced security measures and features in the new ID, which will help with anti-terrorism and replication that is going on right now. Those are the, in summary, the differences between the two different licensing processes that we're talking about. And this bill allows the implementation to start by October 1st of 2016. And that is important for everyone who goes through the renewal process. Everyone will be federal Real ID compliant by the mandatory date of October 2020.
And thank you, Representative Smith. Do you have an amendment for your bill?
I do, Madam Chair.
Would you like to move that amendment?
Yes, I move A16-1107. It's an author's amendment, a few technical changes.
All right, thank you. Any discussion on the A16 amendment? Seeing none, all those... Okay, Representative Lesh.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get the right... Which one
is it? It's the A16-1107.
1107. Okay, so, Madam Chair, Representative Smith, this is just technical. So, I looked at this before, but I just want to remember I'm getting the right thing. Verifies as opposed to does not have, or... I'm sorry, verifies in lieu of certifies and is not eligible for in lieu of does not have. Is that like some federal language conformity we had to do, or why does that matter?
Representative Smith.
The purpose for that change, I would refer to staff.
Mr. Guerin or Mr. Burris? Mr. Guerin.
Madam Chair and Representative Smith, we actually might defer to the agency staff if they know the answer. We didn't draft this amendment, so.
Okay.
Okay, is anyone in the agency? No one's, everybody's shaking their head. Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, the change is meant for, it's just, so does not have instead of is not eligible for, is simply to verify, to talk about how the Social Security number is required in order to receive and be kept for the real ID.
Representative Lesh?
Okay. Well, I'll take that as a nobody really knows answer, but I appreciate that. I've had amendments like this, Representative Smith, so nothing on you for that, but thank you. No other questions
on
this.
Any other discussion on the A16?
Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the A16, I need to back up a minute. I don't think I actually officially moved the bill, so I would like to move House File 3959 passage, that it would go then to the Government Operations Committee. So now we will go to the A16. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The A16 has been amended on. There are a couple of other amendments, so let's get those addressed. There's the A16-1108. Someone want to move that?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll move the A16-1108.
All right. Representative Schoen, any discussion on the A16? Representative Smith, any comments on the A16?
Yes, Madam Chair, I urge a no vote on the A16 amendment.
All right. The A16 is before us. All those in favor?
Well, Madam Chair, it would be nice to have some explanation on that. I guess from my perspective, Representative Smith, and I just want to say this, when I go to my community and I'm sitting down at the Legion or downtown and people are explaining to me, we want real ID done, and I think that your single track on real ID is going to be a non-starter. When this gets to the floor, even into the Senate. So I don't know how we get there, but I just need to go back to my community and say that we're taking an effort and a stance and a try to get to a point where we can actually get something done. People can't understand why they're going to have to buy a passport to get on a plane or get in federal buildings, and I think that a single track on this Unreal ID at this point, and I don't think that that's even a politically divisive issue. I think there's Democrats and Republicans that sit on all of the same sides of this issue. And so this is my attempt to get us closer to a point where the public can see that we're making an effort to get something that's actually going to pass and done. And I don't think that a single track is going to be in that spot for us. But I'd urge support of this amendment. Just simply, it gets us to that point where I think more Minnesotans will support it. And if we don't get to the dual track part, you know, this is the part where gun owners, Representative Smith, who are worried about their data being shared, and you'll see it would be in my subsequent amendment that helps solve that data issue even further, are the folks that are asking as well, too. About protecting their data. And right now, if you sit on the side that data shouldn't be, it should be more protected, your single track license of the Real ID implementation doesn't protect that. So I'd urge support of the amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Lash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Smith, as you know, this issue is pretty controversial. And has been since 2009 when we had a unanimous vote against it. And I was in the legislature then, and I'd like to remain consistent if possible. Can you tell me why, in light of the controversy, would you oppose an opportunity for a middle way in creating a dual track, which many folks, as Representative Schoen explained, on both sides of the aisle, would prefer rather than wholesale capitulation to federal government data sharing?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, I understand both of your points. I understand where you're coming from, and I see the logic in your argument. However, after thorough analysis, my conclusions were that there isn't very much difference between the federal ID requirements and what we currently use. And for consumer ease of use and administration ease, the consumer friendly to avoid confusion in the marketplace, I determined that a single track option is the best route for Minnesota.
Representative Lesh?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I understand and appreciate that, Representative Smith, that you came to that conclusion on your own, and I appreciate that. But there are many people that aren't necessarily at that place yet, and I would take issue with that there's no fundamental difference. And I agree there's plenty of people who just don't care. They think it's fine, making our world safer. There are many people that felt that way when this was originally passed by the federal government along with the Patriot Act in 2005. People thought it was an awesome idea because we're all going to be safer because we got people standing with wands and walking through security to get to the airplane gate now, and they feel safer. And I get that for those people who feel safer. For those of us who look at the stats and see that the TSA has never stopped a single terrorist, ever, it feels like a pain in the rear to me. I now walk through security to get into the courthouse every day. That has never stopped an attack in the courthouse. In fact, there have been attacks in the courthouse both before and after we put that in. So I guess what I'm asking is, if there are your constituents and mine who understand and know that this imposition is an infringement upon their freedoms, whether you're a gun owner or not, just your simple conclusion, did you come to that on your own, or was it in the conversation with the federal government that you did this, or with the Department of Public Safety, or who was your primary information and source in coming to that conclusion that the single track federal government idea was the only way to go?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, this process has been, as you mentioned, it's been going on for a while, and I've had many conversations with people in our body and also department people and other people who are experts or are passionate about this issue. And I fully understand your comments about how things the federal government has done hasn't necessarily made us safer. Perhaps they have. Sometimes the proof in that is hard to attain, somewhat intangible. And I agree that, in general, I don't like when the federal government tells us what to do as a state. However, I feel we've gotten to the point, based on the timeline that the federal government has rolled out, that the clock is about to expire and we need to act. And had I been here in 2009, Representative Lesh, I would have voted with you. And I think that some time has gone on and the federal government has given us hard deadlines where we need to comply, or there's going to be significant ramifications to our society as we know it, such as not being able to fly on a commercial airplane. Currently, we cannot have admittance to certain federal government buildings and military bases. So there isn't one particular person that was my primary data source. It was a collection of many discussions. And as you've noted, and Representative Schoen as well, there's a variety of views on this issue, certainly. And I picked a path that I felt represented the majority of those views to try to get Minnesota compliant so our residents can fly commercially and this is no longer an issue.
Well, Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Smith, the concern ensuring that our residents, as you stated, can fly commercially, does that mean all of our residents?
Representative Smith.
Currently, in order to fly on an airplane right now, you need a, there's a couple of different sources in order to get past security in order to get on an airplane. This system would allow that current system, our new driver's license would allow that current system to continue.
Representative Lesh.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, but Representative Smith, I mean, if you were an immigrant, for example, and not a citizen, and you had other hurdles that you had to cross, whether it was getting citizenship, or let's say you overstayed your student visa and you're trying to get citizenship, you wouldn't qualify in that way, is that correct?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, if you can board an airplane today, you'll be able to board an airplane tomorrow if Real ID is enacted.
Representative Lesh, sorry.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Smith, so your answer is no, it's your intent to ensure that those folks do not have access to the same ID as everyone else, is that right?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, my intent is for Minnesota to be compliant with the federal ID requirements. And as I said before, if you're able to board an airplane today, once Real ID is implemented, it'll be the same level of scrutiny in order to get on an airplane.
Okay.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I would say, you know, without going on much longer, that security is a cooperative effort among everyone here. And I feel like that the Representative Smith's opposition to this amendment is leaving quite a few people behind. That includes folks who don't want to be registered under the guise of the federal government. That includes folks that come here for work from other countries. So I'd ask for a roll call on this amendment, Madam Chair.
The roll call has been requested. Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith. I'm sitting here looking at the bill and at the amendment and hearing what Representative Schoen and Representative Lesh have had to say. I don't know where guns came into this conversation to begin with, because this has nothing to do with firearms. Unless they're talking about the bill that Representative Senator Latz is doing in the Senate for informational on the anti-Second Amendment stuff. But question I have is, currently we have a data for our identification that's used for driver's license, used for donor information. We have a bill to also have our lifetime hunting and fishing license put on this ID as well. Is there any information that's going to be on this, the state ID, that would be a real ID compliant, that is not already held or given by the federal government?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, no.
So all this information that we're putting on here to verify that the person is here in the United States legally and is legally here, is a legal U.S. citizen, has not extended their visas, that information is already out there, and that's all we're doing with this bill.
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, correct.
Thank you.
Chair, to that point, may I ask?
Representative Lesh.
Just to clarify, thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Johnson, I realize, you know, if you support the bill you wanted to get through, you're all going to look at it through a single lens, but the federal government runs federal background checks when you buy a firearm, okay? And if the federal government has data aggregation capabilities on real ID, and maybe I should ask this question of Representative Smith, is there anything in your legislation that would prohibit the federal government's ability to track individuals and prohibit them from boarding an airline if they have a firearm? Anything in there?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, no.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And you know, my point is that this, I think we all understand this, that this doesn't just have to do with the people that you don't want or don't have an interest in supporting, whether they're immigrants or people you do have an interest in supporting, be they firearms holders. This has an implication on anyone, and there's going to be something 10 years down the road that maybe is a favored protected class that we like to support, and there's going to be another group of people that we don't like to support, and where we're voting for this bill today, it has implications on all those groups. I just wanted to make that point, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Schoen.
Madam Chair, and not to belabor this, but Representative Johnson, when you run a Minnesota driver's license when you're at work, or when you were at work, it would show up at it if a person had a permit to carry, and that's the issue. It shows up on your Minnesota driver's license today, and that is what the, if you want to say pro-Second Amendment groups are saying, and they're worried about that data sharing and having that create that mythical registry that you speak of so often. I personally, that's not my concern. My concern is that we're actually going to get a bill to be passed so that we're not looked at as a legislature, Republicans and Democrats, but they're going to look at the people in St. Paul that said you didn't get something done. And I don't think that single track, and I think everybody here knows that once this goes to the Senate, single track's not coming out of the Senate. And we got to get to the point where after all these years, we just flat out put a bill out that's going to work. The bill that's going to work, and I believe that will pass, and even with members of your caucus, because I know that this isn't perfectly, single track isn't perfectly supported within your own caucus, is that you take this amendment, and then you take the subsequent amendment to the amendment that I'll talk about once you adopt this one, because I think you should just adopt this one. You'd love to. I know you would. So that you can move forward. I can just see the smile on your face. But this is what gets us to what we can really get out of here and get done. I think that the bill you're putting forward is going to be a bill that just dies a slow death or a quick death. So I'd urge support, and thanks for asking for the roll call.
Other member comments on the A16-1109. Representative Johnson.
Madam
Excuse me, that's the 11. Oh, that wasn't the right one.
1108.
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, just a clarification. Representative Schoen had mentioned, yes, when we run a Minnesota driver's license, that if somebody is a permit holder, that is on there. But when we share states, I've ran many license, driver's license and identification cards from multiple different states across this country. That information is not shared. The only way if that information would be shared if the state would allow that to be shared, and we do not have to allow that information to be shared.
Okay, thank you. Representative Schoen.
Madam Chair, and so what we're getting at here is if you're in the compact, Representative Johnson, the driver's license compact information is shared. So we do share that back and forth with many states that are in the compact. And what we will get to when you support this amendment and the subsequent amendment is exactly what you want to have happen.
Roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Smith.
No.
Representative Applebaum.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
No.
Representative Hillstrom. Representative Hoppe.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Lesh.
Aye.
Representative Wilmer.
No.
Representative Pinto.
Yes.
Representative Schoen.
Yes.
Representative Vogel.
No.
Representative Zelos.
No.
Representative Scott.
Yes. Seven no's and five yeses. The amendment is not adopted. We'll move next to the A16-1109. Representative Schoen, would you like to move that amendment?
I would, Madam Chair. And this is, this is the amendment that takes care of any concerns, and it creates an actual, real, legitimate dual track, which people can opt out of the real ID. And they can, if you live in the world where you feel like you don't want your driver's license data shared with the federal government, this is the spot that gets you there.
Representative Schoen, I've just been told by...
It's amendment to the amendment.
Yeah.
And so that's what we were trying to get at. You voted against it, so now you're supporting the data. So
the A16-1109 is... It's not adopted because it was an amendment to an amendment. The bill is back before us. Any other member questions or concerns on the bill itself before we go to public testimony?
Yes, for roll call.
Sure. A roll call has been requested. Okay. The first of our public testifiers, Ms. Twyla Brace. And on deck is Jim Hurst. Welcome to the committee. Go ahead and state your name for the record and continue on with your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Twyla Brays. I'm president of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Matt Flanders is joining me because he's got lots of the documents that we've done in the research on this move to Real ID. So in case I need anything, he's here. So my testimony, we are opposed to Real ID. Let me just start out by saying that. Number one, it violates states' rights. Yeah, you can pass those on. Yep.
I have a page.
Thank you. Well, number one, it violates states' rights, so conforming to the Real ID Act is a violation of states' rights, and individual rights is protected by the 10th Amendment. Number two is the problem of federal control, as has been already mentioned around this morning. This bill puts the federal government in control of the freedom of Minnesotans, as noted by the full compliance and conformity language on line 11.16. House File 3959 eliminates our state-authorized driver's license and ID cards and turns them into federal ID cards, over which the Minnesota State Legislature will have no control. Minnesota retains control over issuing them, but the federal government will mandate what gets issued. And as opposed to the comment made earlier here, there are 100 requirements, according to Cato Institute, for the Real ID. It's not the same as our driver's license. Number three, the purpose of the Real ID. Under the Real ID Act, the Secretary of Homeland Security can expand the purposes of the card at any time and without limit. Despite the language on line 3.10 that refuses changes without legislative approval, if the legislature refuses to support states and individual rights now, this language gives little comfort that the legislature will do it the next time Homeland Security mandates a different use for the card. On the aspect of privacy, the Homeland Security Privacy Assessment, right here, says that the unique number of Real ID could pose greater risks, worse than the Social Security number. They warn it could turn into a credential that every business, hotel, healthcare provider, and I would add gun shop and wine shop, demands, with data points of every encounter running through the distributed federal database. We expect it will become a national patient ID. This, as a single database, you might be interested to know that a single distributed database is in the works. According to Edward Hasbrook, a consultant to the Identity Project in a Cato Institute presentation, Homeland Security has already built the hub that is discussed in the federal Real ID rule. Now they need to convince all 50 states and 5 territories to connect to it, which will create a single national distributed database of all Americans and how and where we use the card. Homeland Security aims to convince you by threatening your constituents with a lie. You can't fly. Expedited rulemaking on line 11.26. Rulemaking is lawmaking by unelected bureaucrats unaccountable to the public. We can't unelect them, right? We can't fire them. Expedited rulemaking means that the public will not be able to stop whatever state regulators in collaboration with federal regulators come up with as regulatory laws. This bill lacks details that state and federal bureaucrats will fill in with their own agendas. You and your constituents will be powerless. Number 7. There's no law mandating an ID to fly. People don't understand this, but it's actually true. As the attorney for Gilmore in the Gilmore versus Gonzalez case testified before Congress, the ID mandate comes from a secret law, a federal document held by TSA that the public is not allowed to see. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which saw the secret document ex parte, ruled against Gilmore because the court found that an ID is not a statutory requirement and thus Gilmore could go through the selectee process for additional screening. And on your testimony, you will see the URL of his testimony, which you can look at your own leisure. Number 8, you can fly. So furthermore, even if you think Gilmore's attorney is wrong, the TSA admits you don't need a real ID to fly. They provide a list of 15 identification documents, which are in your packet, that can be combined with our driver's license to get all of us on a plane, including the Minnesota Enhanced Driver's License, which we already have. And the ninth thing I'd like to leave you with is that there's a real-life impact on Minnesotans. Everyone will be forced to get copies of their birth certificate, figure out where they are, pay the cost, go to the driver's license bureau, realize that they need it, have to come back. Even if they never plan to fly or they never plan to enter a federal building. So for all these reasons and to protect individual freedom and states' rights, please vote no. Thank you.
Representative Schoen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the testifier, I recognize your position on these issues quite frequently might be opposite of mine. My question to you is, would you be accepting as a group or even personally, would you rather see we at least had a dual track that would let people who had those concerns, if we had to move forward on something, that we would at least have that opportunity for people to opt out and say, I don't want to share that information?
Grace.
Madam Chair and Representative Schoen, actually what we would prefer is that the state do exactly what they did in 2009 and say no. There is absolutely no requirement to move forward. There are already, for instance, with the whole thing about the extension, right? If you get an extension, you can fly till 2020 without real ID. The whole world could change between now and 2020. And there are at least 6 states that have refused, that have laws actually prohibiting real ID that already have extensions. And for some reason, Homeland Security is playing with Minnesota and not doing the same.
Representative Schoen.
Madam Chair, I recognize your position as not wanting to do it, but at least do you see the opportunity to opt out is better than not having that opportunity?
Ms. Bray.
Madam Chair and Representative Schoen, we have a very strong position on this, and that is a recognition that as soon as the state takes on Real ID, no matter in a single or dual track, we take on the federal government, or I should say the federal government takes on us and the databases. We become part of the system. So we're just, our view is just say no.
Other member questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Thank you. Next on the list of testifiers, Mr. Hurst. Welcome to the committee, and on deck is Kate Weeks with DPS. Good morning, Mr. Hurst. Go ahead and state your name for the tape and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Jim Hurst. I'm here today on behalf of the Minnesota Deputy Registrars Association. The deputy registrars of the state, of which there are number about 174, give or take one or two, are scattered across the state, and we are the service providers for individuals coming in seeking to make application for driver's license as well as other services that we provide pertaining to motor vehicle and things of the like. I'm here today just to basically thank Representative Smith for beginning the process of Real ID Bill number 2. And we have already met with him as well as some staff. We've pointed out a few technical changes that we think would be advised. We're not prepared to present them here today, and quite honestly, most of those are more appropriate within the jurisdiction of the Transportation Committee once the bill arrives at that committee. The one thing I would like to point out to you or remind this committee is that last year there was a bill, it was House File 1167. This was a bipartisan bill. I believe the chief author was Representative Atkins, and it laid out the opportunity or the option for deputy registrars to utilize a secure alternative electronic storage medium. We think consideration of that within this bill would be appropriate considering the record retention schedule that offices will have to face. We currently do have a retention schedule of 5 years for driver's license applications, and conceivably under Real ID that would be extended out to, in certain cases, 7 to 10 years. That legislation was presented before this committee last year. It did pass. It also passed the Transportation Committee. Unfortunately, there was not enough time on the floor to take up that standalone bill, and under Rule 4.2, it has returned to the Transportation Committee. But as a courtesy, I would like this committee to be aware that we would like to see that added into this bill at a future stop. And given the fact that this committee has seen that, we hope that will not require it to come back before this committee, but the language that would be amended, if amended successfully, would mirror exactly that language that was approved by this committee. With that, members, I thank you for your time. I thank Representative Smith for moving this bill and starting the process. For the record, before anyone asks me, the MDRA does not take a position one way or the other regarding a multi-track or a single track. With that, I'll conclude my comments and stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst. Any questions for Mr. Hurst? Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Hurst, what is the deputy registrar's position on this? I'm trying to figure out, are you here just because you want to make sure you get that other data retention provision in? Or if that wasn't an issue, would the NDRA still be here testifying in support of the bill?
Mr. Hurst.
Madam Chair and Representative Lesh, certainly because we're a service provider and driver's licenses are a key part of our service, we thought it was appropriate to at least make comment and certainly bring to attention this matter on storage, electronic storage options, because that is within the purview of this committee.
Okay.
No further questions.
No, sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst. I don't see any other questions with members. Thank you for being here today. Ms. Weeks. Okay, we don't have Ms. Weeks. We have the department here, though. Please state your name for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dawn Olson. I'm the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services. I just want to bring up a couple points for your consideration today as you discuss this bill. A couple areas that we have discussed a little bit more in detail is some of the discussion around the October 1 deadline. A couple things for the department to take under to be able to achieve that deadline is expedited rulemaking can take a series of months, up to about 6 months, before rules are completely promulgated. That means that we would not be able to start programming on our system until the rules are promulgated. And so at a minimum, the programming would take about another 4 months beyond that. So the timeline is significant for this bill. The other thing I'd like to point out is there is no authorization given to the driver's license agents to be able to create or alter identity information. DL agents and their staffs will be required to have a background check and must forego fingerprinting as well as have secure storage for those documents. And the bill right now just states that DVS staff would need to go through that. In addition, the auditing requirements. The auditing requirements would be something that would have to be implemented in the current legacy system based on the timeline. We brought forth to this committee our estimated budget on what it would take to do the programming in the legacy system. But to be able to make these kind of modifications at this time in legacy would create additional costs to us. We're estimating a cost of approximately $2.5 million that would have to be done in the system. But I'd like members to realize that very similar auditing practices and role-based access is being considered on the MNLARS system and is being utilized at that time. The last point I'd like to talk about a little bit more is the data sharing is limited in this bill. Data is not disseminated out of this state and cannot be shared. There's no verification or validation that is not currently being done that could be done. This would impact our agreement with DHS with the requirement of SAVE and applying for and providing documents to SAVE, which is a critical component of Real ID. I'd just like to state that the department remains committed to working with members and staff to ensure that legislation reflects the intent of the legislation and can be implemented. And I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Questions for Ms. Olson? Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to verify the relationship between timing and cost. My understanding is that as the implementation date gets pushed back, then implementation can be tied into MNLARS, and so we could save the $3-5 million in cost and really would make a drop if implementation pushed back to like 2018, something like that. Is that correct?
Ms. Olson.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, yes, that's correct.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then a follow-up question. My understanding is, though, that those savings, so saving that money, though, would require us to make a decision now as to what the implementation date is so that you can then, the department can then work that into the MNLARS, to bringing MNLARS online, et cetera.
Ms. Olson.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Representative Lesh. I'm sorry, were you not finished, Representative Pinto?
Madam Chair, I just was going to ask Representative Smith about that October 1st, 2016 date, as long as we're on the topic of that, because I guess I would be, I would support pushing that back on the basis of just allowing us to save those funds, or at least I think that's an opportunity to explore. If he wants to address that now or perhaps later, Representative Lesh, either way.
Do you have a comment on that, Representative Smith, at this point?
I do, Madam Chair.
Go
Representative.
Ahead.
In regard to the October 1st implementation date, I think that's important for to get going on that this year for two reasons. Number one is if we are able to start to implement in October of 2016, no one will have to get a license twice before October 2020, which is the federal date that everyone needs to be Real ID compliant. So everyone will go through the normal renewal process. That will be very consumer friendly and save some efficiencies within the system, within the current department. The second reason is that There is some concern that if we wait for the MNLAR system to be compliant to use Real ID, that that implementation won't be completed in time, which would further complicate the situation to an exponential level. And specifically what I mean by that is in 2008, the MNLAR system was set to go forth, and it had a four-year project period. It has since been 4 years past that, so we're in our eighth year, and saying that it's going to happen next year is concerning when there is so much on the line with the federal Real ID compliancy.
Representative Lesch.
No, I'll wait my question.
Okay, all right. Any further discussion or questions for this testifier? Seeing none, a roll call has been requested. We will have the roll call by the clerk. Representative Smith, we will renew our motion that House File 3959 be passed and re-referred to the Committee on Government Operations, as amended.
Representative Smith?
Yes.
Representative Applebaum?
No.
Representative Gruenhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom? Representative Hoppe?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Lesch?
Nope.
Representative Wilmer?
Yes.
Representative Pinto?
Yes.
Representative Schoen?
No.
Representative Vogel?
Yes.
Representative Zerwas? Representative Scott?
No. The motion prevails 7-4. Folks, I believe we do have a committee scheduled for Thursday. We'll be taking up the IRRRB reform bill, and we'll just have a simple paragraph in there regarding the open meeting law, I think is the only portion of that bill that's applicable to this committee. With that, we are adjourned.